continue to fuck intros.
Shy kids.
Welcome to the Shy Kids Podcast. My name is Corey.
And my name is Doc.
Hey, Doc, how's it going?
Pretty good.
It's the end of the year.
It's Happy Christmas.
Happy Festivus?
Yeah. if you're listening to this live, Christmas has happened.
It has.
If you're somehow listening while we're recording this, Christmas has not happened.
Just us two, really.
Yeah, just us two. Yeah, so we're recording before Christmas to air after Christmas.
So, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year coming up.
Christmas was great for me.
Yeah,
I got all the gift certificates.
I cleaned up with absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Before we get into the festivities, though, I want to do a quick shout out.
Shout out,
if I can. a shout out to my dear mother.
Really?
Yes, my mom who listens to the show.
Okay.
She went in for surgery today.
Oh, what
so
for?
That would have been 4 days ago if you're listening to this on More Like Radio. She broke her arm.
Oh, great.
Yeah. She fell in the driveway, broke her arm a few days ago, and had to get surgery to realign her bones and her wrist and her forearm and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they thought that she was going to have to put like a plate on her arm. She ended up only having to get a few pins put in her arm.
Oh, okay.
So it was a lot less damage than they originally thought, but she did have to go and undergo surgery, and she's now recovering from surgery. And I wanted to say, you know, get well, mom.
Get
you
well, know, mom.
It's tough to go through something like that through the holidays, but you know, we'll get through it.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you know, hopefully, you know, she'll be listening to this while she recovers. And
yeah,
I love you, mom, and I hope you get well soon.
And I've actually had the same injury.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been through this before. Mine was from masturbating too much, but you know, same dealio. Pins.
It was like.
Are you sure your mom fell in the driveway? That's all I'm saying.
Maybe my dad's not telling the whole story. I wish you a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
It is the end of the year for us.
All right.
Right?
Yes.
And what does that mean, Doc?
That means that it's time for us to do a regular show and put off our list till next week.
Yeah, we forgot.
Like we did last year.
We forgot to write our list again, and so we'll do it after the first of the year.
No, we have our list. Yes.
Doc Weeds and Corey's List Show. It's a show with a bunch of lists.
Theme song for everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It was a good year for some things, bad year for a lot of other things.
It's true.
You know, it was really weird. Like, movies were great. There's too many movies. Like, a list of five probably isn't enough to really encapsulate the great movies of this year. So we'll probably have to spill over a little bit.
We'll do our list of five, but you can slip in some shout outs if you want to.
Yeah. We'll have to add some.
Yeah.
And if you're listening on More Like Radio, feel free to throw yours up in the chat.
Yeah. Throw it up.
Yeah. Throw up in the chat.
Like a motherfucker.
They've got people to clean that up. It's cool. Yeah. You know. You know, we'll have a good time sort of celebrating the year that was 2014.
Yes.
So yeah, we've got lists prepared. We're ready to go. What do you want to start with?
Why don't we start with the wonderful world of television?
Television.
Television.
Okay. Now I have to admit, I'm a little light on television watching this entire year.
Okay.
I do have a few shows. Some of them are sort of like carryovers from, you know, like previous years.
As long as they aired this year, you're good.
Yeah. But like the sort of marquee shows, I didn't see a lot of.
Yeah. What about that marquee Mark show, Wahlburgers?
I have seen that.
Look at that.
It would not.
Did you feel the energy of that segue?
Yeah, that was nice.
Thank you.
That show would not make my list even.
No.
Even amongst a shitty television year.
Yeah. Agreed.
But anyway, let's just go ahead and jump right in. We're going to go TV shows of 2014. What were the best ones, Doc?
I will start. No particular order.
Yeah, yeah. These aren't like ordered lists. These are
First one on my list actually premiered this year, and I think it's the only show that was a new show this year on my list. And this is one of those where when they announced the show, I was like, oh, cool. I like that guy that's in that.
Mm-hmm.
But this feels like it's going to be a rehash of the other shows that guy's been on.
Mm.
And so I was worried, like, oh, how is this going to work? But then his new show became bigger than the old show he used to be on. And to me, anyway. Right. I don't know ratings wise.
Is this British television?
No, not British television, okay. But a British gent.
Oh.
Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Oh, that is a fantastic show.
Yeah.
Oh, it, you know what? Better than where he came from.
The Daily Show, yes.
I love The Daily Show.
Yeah.
I love The Daily Show. I love Colbert. Colbert almost made my list because it's final season, and he pulled out all the stops and was really doing like fuck it all shows towards the end, too, which were really great. But yeah, John Oliver's show is consistently fantastic.
Here's what John Oliver has on his side.
HBO.
That.
Tits.
That.
Cursing.
That. And he has a week to write it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he doesn't have to do it nightly.
The Daily Show does have to do it every day.
Yeah, yeah. That is beneficial. That's why our show is so great, because we have a week to write it.
Hold on, I missed my last line.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Hey, we'll retake it. We go back?
Yeah, you're right, Corey. We do.
All right, take it from line 13.
I fucked a dolphin in the blowhole today.
Oh, your copy's different than mine.
Did I get the wrong rewrite?
Let's just move on.
All right, cool. Yeah, so Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, fucking great.
Fantastic.
Every week, sites go, look what John Oliver did today, mm-hmm. like all these mm-hmm. internet sites.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a fantastic show.
Yeah. And he's also Professor Duncan on Community.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's great on there.
Yes,
so,
he is. And he's British.
And he's British.
Yes.
Hello, governor. All right. Yours. Your first one.
First on my list is probably the best show I saw all year. So, like, if I were to order them, this one would be number one.
Number one.
And it premiered this year, and holy fuck, was it amazing.
Yeah.
And I stumbled across it, too. Like, I had no idea that this show was even a thing.
Okay.
Until I was super sick, and I couldn't get to sleep. Like, it was one of those where, like, I got a fever, and I was shitting and throwing up all at the same time. Actually, it's the same night that I actually shit myself for the first time.
I remember that
right?
night.
Like the very first time I actually shit myself, I was super embarrassed, had to like, you know, clean myself up all awkwardly and then stumble back into my bedroom and I turned on the TV like...
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
Duck Dynasty.
No. No.
No?
I thought
maybe that's what inspired you to grow the beard.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
What is it for real?
Although I do love when people comment on my beard pictures. Oh, you look like Duck Dynasty.
Hey, you're the Duck family. I don't know
their
fucking name.
That's the only point of reference that anybody has for facial hair now.
Yeah, apparently
Duck Dynasty.
Everyone forgot about ZZ Top.
Everybody forgot about ZZ Top,
And the guy whose last name is Beard doesn't have a beard.
Just a mustache.
Waka waka. Okay, what's the actual show?
I turned on HBO, and I saw what I thought was a movie, and I was like, I didn't know these guys were in a movie together again. And like, oh, they're doing cop things, and like, this is really creepy and whatnot. And it's fucking Matthew McConaughey and what's his face? Fucking Woody Harrelson.
What's his face?
Fucking Woody Harrelson doing True Detective.
Yeah.
And that was fucking mind blowing, that show. Oh my God. Have you seen it?
Nope.
You have not seen? Oh my God.
I heard it's good.
It's the best television show I have ever seen, besides one other one that's on my list.
Okay.
Well, like,
It didn't make par. It didn't make my list because I haven't seen it.
You didn't see it.
But yeah, I heard it's really good.
True Detective tops my list, even though we're not in any particular order. But like, that show was ridiculous.
Yeah.
The premise, that one chick's boobs.
I have seen Alexandra Daddario's nude scenes several times.
Oh my God, fantastic. Which is funny because like leading up to that, she was doing a bunch of interviews. Like, I do a nude scene. It was very liberating. And I really felt like I was able to expand my abilities
tits.
As an actress or whatever. Then after she gets naked, not much else happens with her character after that.
Oh no.
So like, she sort of comes in, gets nude, and then leaves the show.
Oh, there you go.
It's like, wait, she didn't, I keep I'm waiting for her character to be like this blossoming great performance thing. Nope, she just got naked.
Well, if I had my way, she would play every female role from now on.
Right? She is fantastic.
Wonder Woman. Fucking yeah. Replace all the girls from Avengers with her.
Yes.
Who gives a
shit? ScarJo.
Sorry, ScarJo. You're yesterday's news.
Yeah. She is fantastic naked, and I think she should be naked more often. you know, for women's lib or some shit.
Creep kids, creep kids.
She's going to make me break my arm.
Yeah. That is a good one, though.
Yeah, True Detective. If you ever get the chance to see it, don't hesitate.
I will watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
I will eventually watch. It's only 6 episodes, right?
I think it's 8.
8, okay.
Yeah, 8
well,
hour-long episodes.
Too much. That's a commitment.
It's intense, though. Like, yeah. It's fucking, it's nuts.
Is there a scene where Matthew McConaughey says, "You know what, man? We're just true detectives."
No, but he says, you know, help me solve this case easier if I take my shirt off. All right.
I'm more interested in the breaks between filming when Woody and McConaughey would fucking
just
smoke
light it up.
All the weed on Earth.
Turn down for what, baby?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, no, but it's a fantastic show.
Good choice that I haven't seen. My next one is a cartoon.
A cartoon?
Yeah.
I think I know where you're going with this.
You don't, actually.
I don't.
No, it actually started in 2013.
It's not Metalopolis?
No.
Is that a show?
It is a show.
Okay, good.
Metalocalypse.
That's what I said.
Yeah, but no.
That's not what I
That's not what you said, but that's not what I picked.
If you rewind the tape back, that's pretty much what I said.
Yeah. It is a show that actually started in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered it fairly recently and just like poured through it and caught up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those shows that is made for kids but has adult jokes in it.
Barney. Oh, that's not animated. Sorry, that's not a cartoon.
No.
You all right?
Yeah, you made me cough because I laughed. It's a show on the Disney Channel.
Oh, okay, hold up.
Oh, do you want to guess what it is?
Yeah, let's see
what here. I would like on the Disney Channel?
On the Disney Channel. There is a cartoon that I like on the Disney Channel.
All right.
Because it's fucking weird. Is this a weird cartoon?
It's weird in a supernatural kind of way.
I think I know what is it. Gravity Falls?
It is Gravity Falls.
It is a great cartoon.
That fucking cartoon rules. I love it.
It is a great cartoon.
Yeah.
I will give you that. Yeah. That's it is spectacularly odd.
Yeah.
It is totally a cartoon that I would have loved as a kid.
It's about a couple twins,
mm-hmm.
who boy girl, who get shipped off to the summer to their like
it's like a
great uncles.
Yeah, it's like yeah. a
they call him Grunkle.
Yeah.
He has a mystery shack, which uh-huh. is just a fucking sham shit to get tourists.
But it's like a touristy attraction, right?
But then it turns out there's real mysterious shit that happens around here. It's very Doctor Who-ish in a way.
A little bit,
which is
yeah.
something I without the time travel. Of
it's
course.
It's a little bit. Are you afraid of the dark?
Yeah.
It's a little bit Doctor Who with the sort of like. Fantastical adventure.
It's a little bit of that
aspect.
Show Eureka.
Yeah. Or is it like Erie, Pennsylvania?
Erie, Indiana.
Or excuse me, yes, Erie, Indiana. Remember that show?
Yeah.
It's a bit like that, where it's like X-Files for kids.
Yeah.
But then animated and very funny.
Yeah.
The writers on that show are really good.
It's a great show. If you have kids, just point them towards that show, and then you'll get to watch something good while they're entertained.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny what you sort of gravitate towards, like as far as children's programming, once you have a child,
yeah,
like
you're like, no, not Caillou. You don't Caillou.
Yeah,
you don't like Caillou. You like Gravity Falls.
Like the show that I really wanted my son to love, was Bubble Guppies.
What?
I know. Like Bubble Guppies. Here's the thing, Bubble Guppies. Is a show for like toddlers, right?
Okay.
And there's sing-alongs and like they teach you little moral lessons and whatnot, and it's all like a bunch of fish that go to school.
Yeah.
But the music on Bubble Guppies is the best music for any fucking children's show. Fuck your Yo Gabba Gabba. Like, shove that all in a drawer and put it away, because Bubble Guppies songwriters are fucking fantastic.
Really?
They're, yeah, like it's if you have to sit through a children's show,
yeah,
Bubble Guppies is it.
Oh wow! If you, I bet if you look it up, it's someone like cool.
It probably is. Well,
like Bowie writes all their music or some shit,
right? Yeah, yeah. It's Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond
writing all of the
yeah
writing all of the songs. No. Yeah, it's so easy to watch because the music is good. I'm telling you, like, and you'll watch fucking senseless shit with your kids because they want to be entertained or whatever. Like, you want to keep them quiet or whatever. But, yeah, Bubble Guppies is one of those where, like, all right, I can hang with this show because the music's good.
Picture Neil Diamond out in the Bubble Guppies are coming.
line up, everybody, line up.
Yeah. All right, is that next on your list?
Bubble Guppies? No, okay. Bubble Guppies didn't make my personal list.
What's next on your list?
Let's see. Next on my list is another show that premiered this year.
Okay.
It's a show that I was super hyped about from the moment I heard it was going to be a thing.
Okay.
In that I would be able to like immerse myself in this world on a weekly basis.
I think I know what it is.
Do you?
I think I do.
You want to take a crack?
Is it a show based on a Coen Brothers movie?
No.
Oh, fuck.
I didn't see that show.
Oh, I haven't seen it either.
Here's the thing. Like I said, TV watching light.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of opportunity to watch like television shows on a nightly basis.
Same here.
Well, because of my child. Like,
yeah.
I would, but I have to wait for him to go. And then, like, then it's a real, like, I have a 2-hour window where I have to watch something that my wife would also kind of like.
Your wife.
Or I have to convince her, like, no, this is a good show.
Yeah.
And then, like, split time between shows that she wants to watch and right. whatever.
Duck Dynasty and...
Yeah, you know, House Hunters.
Kim and Chloe do things in Miami, probably.
Luckily enough, my wife doesn't watch those shows.
Oh, good.
So, okay. I'm good on that end. There are a few shows on my list that we do watch together on a very regular basis. But this show, I would sort of, if I ever got to be home, like if she took the kid out to like get ice cream.
Yeah.
Or like, I got home before they got home or whatever. Yeah. It'd be like, oh, sweet. I can catch up on one episode of this show that I have 6 blocked of.
What is it?
And it's a show, that's based off of a comic book.
Oh.
And there's a few of them. And some people were throwing some shade at it because it got a little hokey, but I don't care because I get to see Batman.
Yeah.
Like the world of Batman on a weekly basis when I watch Gotham.
Gotham was so almost on my list because it is fantastic.
It is.
Yeah. It's really good. The guy who plays the Penguin.
Penguin is great.
Is amazing.
Catwoman is great.
Yeah.
Even the kid that's playing Bruce Wayne and Alfred, their whole thing together is fantastic.
Oh, totally.
I really like the guy from the OC that's playing Jim Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
And Donald Logue is Donald Logie. Like, he's so awesome.
He's great. Yeah.
Jada Pinkett Smith is a little over the top, and I could do without her. Like, her character really needs to die.
I heard, I'm a little behind on Gotham, but I heard everyone hates Jim Gordon's fiance now.
Here's the thing with her, though. Like, she is gorgeous.
But
her mouth is kind of weird.
This is weird. Now, I meant personality.
No. Looks I'm saying, like... Like, she shows up, and I was like, oh, fuck, James Gordon. You got yourself a winner.
Yeah.
Barbara Gordon is fucking hot.
Yeah.
And then she started talking, and I was like, there's something off about her.
Oh, it's like Alicia Silverstone's mouth.
Yeah. There's something like there's something not quite.
Yeah.
But she's gorgeous with her mouth shut. But yeah, her character.
That's the most misogynistic thing you've ever accidentally said.
She's
gorgeous with her mouth shut.
I don't mean because she's not talking. I mean because her mouth is awkward.
Yeah.
Shaped.
That was hilarious.
But I enjoy the interesting ways they're building the underbelly of Gotham.
Yeah.
Because you can see how wonderfully they're laying out the sort of latticework of Bruce Wayne's perspective on what is right, what is wrong.
Right.
How to deal with the city. Like, you know, that whole thing.
Something I appreciate about
really fantastic.
Gotham is our last Batmans were the Nolan ones.
Right.
Super serious.
Mm-hmm.
Super serious. And I like that Gotham is making it a little bit more comic booky again.
A little bit, but not over the top.
Not over the top.
Not over the top.
But a little bit more comic booky.
They're bringing also, in comic book premises.
I love Alfred on the show.
He's fantastic.
He's
right?
my favorite person on
oh,
the show.
Oh man,
yeah, and so great. He is Sean Pertwee, who mm-hmm. is the son of Third Doctor John Pertwee.
Really?
Yeah.
He's the son of a doctor.
He's the son of a doctor.
Well, then I love him even more.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotham. Gotham's a fantastic show. So that's That's my
good choice.
Second
Excellent
selection.
Choice. Almost made my list.
Yeah.
Here's what bumped it, though.
Uh-oh. The Flash.
No.
Ugh.
Fuck DC.
Green Arrow.
Although Gotham's DC.
Yeah, Gotham is DC.
Gotham's the only DC I care about.
Yeah, Batman. Batman is like the only DC that yeah. that I give real shits about.
This is a show that premiered in 2013, got off to a shaky start,
mm-hmm.
And then... The second half of the season, the first season, aired in 2014, and it was great.
Really?
Yeah. And then the first half of season two just finished airing, and that was great. And what turned it around was a little movie called Captain America Winter Soldier.
Oh, I know what you're going with.
Because we found out a big reveal about S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That I won't even spoil here because it's fucking great. And that made the entire show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. change completely after right. that movie came out.
Right, yeah, it had to.
And for the better.
Yeah, yeah.
It was amazing. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is my favorite comic book show right now.
TV show?
I love it. Yeah.
Awesome.
And then we just got the mid-season...
Cliffhanger
that we just got
mm-hmm.
introduces a concept that they've announced a movie for in Phase 3 of the Marvel movies.
I love Marvel.
Marvel is
and
so
everything
good.
They're doing
yeah.
with movies, TV.
Yeah.
They are perfectly taking... what they do in comic books
yeah.
and adapting it to a new medium.
Perfect.
And they're doing such a fantastic job.
Yeah, and then we have a bunch of new Marvel shows starting on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
They just wrapped Daredevil. They're going to be doing Luke Cage, who's a black superhero.
Who's going to get his own movie?
No, that's
oh,
Black
sorry,
Panther.
Sorry, that's Black
that's
Panther.
That's racist, Corey.
Sorry. I started formulating that before.
Yeah, and then a Marvel character named Jessica Jones, who's going to be played by Kristen Ritter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was just
I like
cast
her a lot.
As Jessica Jones. Me too. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Joss Whedon show.
He does great TV.
Yes, he does.
He does great TV.
Much like all Joss Whedon shows, I'm attracted to every girl on the show.
You and Josh Whedon have
like
similar tastes.
Firefly, Buffy,
right.
all of his fucking shows.
That's
Josh Whedon knows how to pick a dame. Next on
so
your list.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Let's see. I'm on three, right?
Yeah.
Next on my list is my favorite show that isn't on regular TV.
Okay.
It is a Netflix original.
Ah, I know what this is.
And it is, besides True Detective, the best thing I've ever seen in a television show format.
Yes.
In an hour-long drama. And it's mainly because the cast is so fucking amazing.
Right.
And the stories are tight and so deeply wound around plot twists and the sort of muck of their environment.
I didn't know you were such a Hemlock Grove fan.
You know? What's his Eli Roth? What's his face?
I don't think he's in it.
No, he's the creator.
Is
he? The fucking hostile guy. What's his name?
Eli Roth.
Eli. It is Eli Roth.
He made
he
that
is,
show.
Yeah, he's the creator.
I
of
didn't even know
Hemlock
that.
Grove.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
that's not it.
It's
okay.
not. It's not Hemlock Grove. It's House of Cards.
House of Cards. Yeah.
House of Cards is fantastic, and it's coming back in February.
Nice.
And. That's another reason why 2015 can't come fast enough, because it's only 2 months in and I get another House of Cards.
2 months and away.
I've got to get a babysitter for my kid for a weekend.
Yeah.
And my wife and I will just sit and binge the yeah. entire series of House of Cards.
Go, you get to go stay with Aunt Corey's wife's sister
for a whole 3-day weekend.
I love Aunt Corey's wife's sister. All right.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic show. That's another one that you haven't seen, right?
No, I haven't seen House of Pain.
Man. House of Pain. It's not the name of the show.
Oh, okay. No, that's Tyler Perry's show. Which I haven't seen House of Cards.
Which
either.
Is terrible.
Tyler
like
Perry's show?
Like all Tyler Perry things.
Don't be racist, Corey.
It's not racist. It's just terrible.
I know.
It's just fucking, it's bad.
He's really bad.
Yeah. I don't understand why he's allowed to continue
he's
making movies.
Really shitty.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
That's a bonus episode.
Good choice.
That's what we should have done for a bonus episode. Like we'll watch a Tyler Perry Christmas movie.
There you go.
Like Madea Saves Christmas, and we'll do audio commentary.
I don't know if there's been a Madea Saves Christmas.
There's Madea goes to camp. Madea goes to prison. Madea Saves Christmas. Madea and Halloween scary time goblin things. I don't know.
And Madea Scared Stupid.
Scared Stupid. That's what it is. Yeah. Tyler Perry, Madea Scared Stupid.
And then probably the worst one, Madea Rides Again.
Yes.
Yeah,
House of Cards, fantastic.
Yep.
So good. Another one where, like, just go home tonight and binge watch season one, and you'll be hooked.
My next one.
Plus, Kate Mara.
I don't like her little weird mouth.
She shows her boobs.
Oh, okay, then I'm in. So, my next one is also cartoon.
Okay.
This one is made for adults.
Okay.
It's
Metalocalypse.
No. It's very much a lot like Gravity Falls in a way.
I think I know where you're going with
but
this.
But it's way more adult.
Right.
And at one point the shows even referenced each other.
Really?
Which I will reveal to you, yes.
Really?
And this one is Rick and Morty.
Yes.
Which I believe I gave a shout out to last year on last year's list because
you may have.
Half of the first season aired in 2013, and then the second half aired in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
It is the best cartoon on television right now, which is not on right now because we're waiting for season two to be made.
Right.
It is fantastic. It is a parody. It was originally a parody of Back to the Future. Because it's Rick and Morty, Doc and Marty.
Right.
And it's this kid whose grandpa is like a crazy mad scientist, but also a drunk.
Right.
And he takes him on random adventures through different dimensions.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in one episode of Gravity Falls, Grunkle Stan, some shit of his gets sucked through a portal.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like his hat and a cigar or some shit. I forget exactly what it is. And then in an episode of Rick and Morty, they're running past all these portals and those items fly out of one of them.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome. I wonder if the writers know each other.
I think they're buddies.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But Rick and Morty is amazing. It's hilarious. I recommend everybody watch it. The first season's only 11 episodes.
We watched an episode on It's All About Me.
We tried to.
I watched the entire episode.
You
it
watched
hilarious.
The entire episode, yeah.
I was the only one that continued watching the episode.
You got to start from the bottom,
now we're here.
Start from the bottom, now you're here. Start the season from the beginning so you can get a lot of context.
Right.
Because another cool thing about the show is it starts off, you think it's just this episodic, at the end of the episode, everything goes back to the status quo. No. Not true. They fucking, like, few episodes in, give big, like, oh, shit.
Really?
That's carrying over. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's really cool.
It's another one, like, it just add to my list of maybe someday I'll binge watch it when I'm sick or something, you know?
To me, it's like, it's up there with, like, Archer and Venture Brothers.
Really?
Which are two shows.
Archer is fantastic.
Two shows that have their own lore.
Right.
Now. That they have to keep track of, and Rick and Morty kind of first season already started its own lore.
Right.
Yeah. So I everybody needs to watch it. It's great. And it's by the it's co-created by Dan Harmon, who made Community.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other co-creator is Justin Roiland, who does the voices of Rick and Morty. Yeah.
Both
he does characters.
The voice of both.
Both characters, yep.
Well, those are probably very fun recording sessions.
Yeah.
Just sitting in a room talking to himself.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my second to last one. Corey?
All right. Fourth on my list, my penultimate for TV, is another great show. This one is on Showtime?
Showtime.
It's a Showtime original, and it's great for a few reasons. some of which are lots of naked people.
But that's, oh, I know what show this
that's
is.
Not what makes it a great show.
I know what show this
that's
is.
That's just icing.
Yeah.
Icing on the cake, my friend. It is.
You gotta because have a good cake, though.
It's wonderfully written. The characters are some of the best characters on TV, in movies. Like the way they've written these characters and the way those actors portray those characters on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
With such like awkward reserve for some of them, and like the I don't know, it's a fantastic piece. Like, they should show those types of shows to future actors and be like, this, you know, like,
this is how you act.
Or like in a writing class, be like, this show, like, think of how you're feeling right now as you're watching it, and like how you feel for this character and how all these characters are different. And, you know, like,
meanwhile, Corey, our screenwriting teacher showed us an episode of CSI.
That's because his niece wrote it.
Is that why we watched that shit episode? Because
she came in and talked about it.
Oh, did she? Okay, I forgot about that.
His niece or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said it, though. Masters of Sex.
Masters of Sex.
Masters of Sex. I recommend it for anybody out there.
It's a great show.
Like, it even if you're sort of like, you feel awkward about talking about sex, like, that's sort of what the
Isn't
show
that what the
is
show's
about
because right? It takes place in the past.
It takes place in the 50s?
Yeah.
Question mark?
And they're like studying sex?
Yeah, and they're what they're doing is very taboo. And so like even the just studying female pleasure zones was a huge like you know. But I think it'll really help even those of you who are uncomfortable with dealing with that, like, sort of be more comfortable with those topic points.
It's
are like
Kinsey.
Yes, but on a, you know, on a much larger scale, right?
Yeah.
And they expand on Kinsey's work, so it's even more in depth, and like, it makes sense, and there's characters that will reflect that sentiment, and then there's the other characters that, you know, you really are fighting for. You know, like, never not since Pretty Woman have you really rooted for a prostitute. Masters of Sex.
Good choice. Last one on my television list. I mean, how could I not include it? This season of this show was stellar. I have a whole podcast dedicated to this show.
I intentionally left this off my list because I knew that you were going to have it.
Yeah. Doctor Who.
It's totally valid. Yes. It's like above my list.
Yeah.
Because I'm with you. Like, because of you, I have so much joy from watching Doctor Who now.
Yeah.
And then your companion piece, podcast, makes it like 10 times better. Like, it feels like such an immersive experience to watch Doctor Who. Like, I've become the fan that I am of Doctor Who because of you and your podcast.
Because of you.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Doctor Who, series eight, was great. Top to bottom, back to front.
It was really fantastic.
And we lost who at the time was like my favorite doctor, Matt Smith.
Still my favorite doctor.
So,
but
I was worried, like, oh no, like, what if I don't like the new doctor? And then they announced Peter Capaldi was going to play him.
Right.
And I liked Peter Capaldi already.
Right.
But I was like, yeah, but how is he going to play the doctor? And it turns out he plays him like a grumpy, grouchy old man.
Yes.
And I loved it.
His portrayal is super different and equally as great.
Exactly. He was fucking great. He blew me away. And now, like, I don't even do favorite doctor anymore.
Yeah, your favorite doctor is the doctor.
My favorite doctor is the doctor.
The doctor.
I like all the doctors.
Right.
Even 10.
Oh, controversial statement.
Yeah. Well, look, everyone will be like, well, of course 10. But
yeah.
I'm the one who, like, was mad dogging 10. But that was a reaction to the people who couldn't get over the 10 left.
Right, right, right.
Bring back David Tennant. And I was just like, oh, will you fucking stop it?
Yeah.
And I could have easily been, bring back Matt Smith.
I was apprehensive to see how they were going to go forward.
Right.
Because I did like him so much. Like, I don't know if I'm going to like another guy that much and have such an intense reaction for the show the way I did while I was watching the Matt Smith Doctor Who. But yeah, I never felt like, bring back Matt Smith. Like, I don't want you to go. Like, the way they completed his story
right.
felt right. Like, it felt okay.
It was perfect.
You know?
But yeah, Doctor Who, solid this year. I'm looking forward to more. We got the Christmas episode coming up.
I cannot wait.
Which has already aired, if you're listening to this.
Oh, that's right.
And was probably amazing.
If you're listening to this on More Like Radio, we're probably recording...
We're recording soon, Two Fat Daleks.
Yeah, the
with
Christmas
special
episode.
Guests.
Yeah. I am super excited about watching the Christmas episode and then being able to be on your podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Doctor Who.
Doctor Who, yes.
Solid.
I'm like I said, I wanted to give you that.
Yeah.
Like because
you
that's
just,
your
you left
show.
It off your list just
but,
so
but know that it is in my right. complete top list of shows this
of
year.
Of course.
Too.
Okay. Your final one.
My final show. This is the tough decision. Like, I wanted to pick Colbert Report because it's his final season and it's fantastic. But I'm not sure that I'm going to go with it.
Okay.
Because there's two other shows, one that came to an end and one that started in 2014.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to go with the one that ended.
Okay.
Because it's had a longer impact on me as a viewer.
Yeah.
The one that I'm not going to go with that was very close is Silicon Valley.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Silicon Valley is a fantastic new comedy. It's I think it's an HBO show.
Yeah. Mike Judge does it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's really good. It's really smart.
I haven't seen it yet, but I need to.
It's really funny.
Because I like Mike Judge.
TJ Miller is fantastic, and Kumail Nanjiani's on it, and he's fantastic. And, you know, like... The cast is great. The setting is super awesome because it's awkward geek tech guys trying to make millions, you know, and like the outer world of business that sort of clouds all of those decision making things and what directions they go and whatnot. And it makes a very good setting for that type of comedy.
Right. But this one didn't make your list.
It
what
didn't.
Did?
It didn't. It fell just short only because it's so new.
Yeah.
The show that did make my list. is one that I started watching as I became a new parent.
Okay.
And so the themes of the show really sort of hit home to me.
Okay.
Now having all these new sort of feelings and emotions about like having my own child and whatnot. And the show is called Parenthood.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Parenthood.
I didn't know that ended.
It's a fantastic show. Yeah. Final season happened this year.
Okay.
And...
I believe Parenthood was on your list last year, too.
It might have
so
been.
You like this show.
I really love this show. Yeah. It really sort of hit me at the right time in my life.
Right.
You know, had that movie or had the TV series come out, you know, sort of my early 20s or whatever, I'd been like, oh, that's a pretty good show. But it wouldn't have impacted me as much as it did.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, my kid was born around the time that this show had started, or like maybe my wife was pregnant when the show actually started.
Yeah.
And then everything forward was like, I felt like I was part of the family,
part
the Bravermans,
of the family.
You know, like it was a really good show. That and the two of the brothers started their own record label around the same time that I started my record label. Like it was one of those types
it was
of shows.
A weird parallel.
Yeah, it's one
thing.
Of those shows where like, you know, if you look hard enough, you'll draw your own parallels, you know, kind of a thing. But it really felt like I could connect on every single level for that show.
Yeah.
And it was sad to see it go, you know. It's just one of those where, like, oh, you know. It's similar to where, like, How I Met Your Mother, right? Like, a lot of people watched How I Met Your Mother. I was one of them. I watched it from the beginning because, like, Friends ended and How I Met Your Mother started the following fall, and I was like, yeah, we'll try this now. And then I watched it the entire way through.
Can I tell you this is a perfect segue?
Mm.
Because I wrote one show that was the worst.
How I Met Your Mother?
And How I Met Your Mother's final season was the worst.
Did you
that's
watch
what
the,
I wrote.
Did you watch the entire series?
I've seen the whole show.
Really?
Yeah.
And you were that disappointed with the...
Ugh.
You didn't like the device of it all happening...
I
hours
hated that.
Before.
I hated that.
Really?
I hated that device, and the ending itself was awful.
You didn't feel anything when, like, you saw the mother for the first time, or, like, the mother met
those
characters for the first time.
I liked the mother. I liked who they cast as her.
She's fantastic.
But the the idea that that entire season takes place at the wedding didn't, I was like, okay, fuck. All right. Let's go.
Then they did the episode where they did the mom's perspective.
Yeah, but
for all of that, like, I can see where people were turned off by the last episode, how it actually ended. Fine.
That was terrible. But then, like, the goofy, like, there's, like, dream sequences.
It wasn't as bad as Dexter's final season.
I agree. Dexter's final season is the worst thing that ever happened in television.
Yes. Was that this year?
No, that was last year. That was last year. And that's what I put on my worst.
Yeah,
was Dexter's final season. So this year, it's another disappointment, How I Met Your Mother's final season for me. Awful.
All right.
What, do you have a worst for TV?
I don't have a worst for TV. Duck Dynasty. Yeah, the Kardashians, like any fucking of those shows. All right, so now music.
Yeah.
Our top five music. Moving on past TV. I think we more than well covered TV.
We're good with TV.
Which is funny because I thought that TV was going to be our weakest.
Yeah, really?
Category. Because we got some tremendous movies to talk about.
We do.
And some music. So let's get through the music.
Okay. Let's do yours first. Let's switch it up.
You want just back and forth?
Yeah, back and forth again.
I'll start.
Yeah.
All right, first on my list is this song. This song is Tove Lo. I think that's how you Tove Lo. It's T-O-V-E-L-O. Tove Lo.
Okay.
And the song is Habits.
Habits.
Just listen to that. That's fucking good shit right there. I have a.
All right, turn it off.
I have a weakness for lady singers.
Me too.
And I also really love epic sounding songs.
Yeah,
and that has both.
Both. I hear that on the radio a lot. I don't change the channel when that one comes on.
It's quite fantastic. Yeah, yeah. It's one of those where I think. It'll have to play a ton for me to get really sick of it.
Yeah.
You know? And they haven't played it a ton.
Yeah.
You know?
They
play it a lot, but they haven't played it like a ton. Right. But yeah, I really love that song. It's Habits by Tove Lo?
I thought it was Trove Lo. I thought there was R in there.
No, it's T-O-V-E-L-O.
Okay.
Two words. But
maybe it's Tone Loke.
Me. He made a
Funky
comeback.
Funky Cole Medina. I got a voice change.
Yeah.
Ooh. Not a sex change, a voice Ooh. Change. Yeah. All right. Good one.
Mm-hmm.
My first one is kind of a upbeat poppy type electronic song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what you want to call it. It's good. Here it is.
Oh, yeah. I love this song.
Standing with the plan for us. I guess you didn't know that I was dangerous.
The listeners can't see this, but I'm dancing hardcore right now. Another
Love
sort of
you
like.
This much.
If all electronic music was like this, I would be so into EDM, but it is not like this.
No.
Yeah, this is what's the name of this song?
It is the song's called Dangerous. It's by Big Data featuring Joywave.
Right.
And I tried to like look up like, oh, did they have an album? Nope.
Just this song?
Just this song.
Really?
It's just a single that was released, and that's it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That they would get such play off of just one song.
Yeah.
That's like, I guess, I mean, that happens occasionally. Foster the People got super huge off of an EP.
Is that the
they released?
Yeah, the kids with their fucked up shakes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That song.
Okay.
But
yeah, that's a good one. I love that song. It's just, whenever that one comes on, I turn it up.
You know, it's sort of...
Not Foster the People. The one we just listened to. Dangerous.
Right. I mean, it's a single world, I guess. So it shouldn't seem too odd, you know, the way that the
live
music
in
is.
In a single world,
right?
And I am a single girl.
Great song so far. We're off to a great start.
Yeah, good start.
Great start.
Your turn.
This next one is
Can I just already say this is a big improvement having the songs play?
Yes.
Than last year.
Yes, it is.
Last year we were just like, oh, that's the one that goes, like, that's not helping. Heavy bells, heavy bells.
Technology.
Yeah.
This next one is admittedly a little self-serving.
Okay.
But I do love this song.
Okay.
I love all the songs that came on this particular artist EP this year, and not necessarily because I played bass on them.
Okay, I got it.
Here's the song I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'll just play the song for you. I've realized everything's just upside down anyway. Listen to that bass. Shit.
Some good bass.
Five stars on iTunes, by the way. I fucked around and got a chain reaction. Look at all the love I found. I play the part, then I come to your town. That's right. Might as well give it all up. But the reality is I'm throwing it all away.
Yeah.
That's Throw It Away by Jeff Martin. The other song
is one of your artists.
I do represent him
for Arcadian Records.
Like I said, it's a little self-serving.
And you do play the bass on that.
Because I was involved in that project.
Corey,
but
that's a little fishy here. By the way, now on iTunes.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the name of that song?
That's Throw It Away.
Throw It Away by Jumpin' Jivin' Jeff Martin.
Jumpin' Jivin' Jeff Martin. Yeah, you can buy that on wherever you buy your digital music. Irie Me by Jeff Martin.
Well, speaking of self-serving, my next song is this. It's getting way too hot, so make it all the clothes. I am so... Okay, no, not really.
Oh, Strong Bad sings Nelly songs.
No, my next song is from one of my favorite classic artists who had a new album this year. He's probably one of the best American songwriters in the world. That's
Toby Keith.
No. Wait, here. Just
Kenny Chesney.
Just play the song and we'll see if people can guess who this is.
Are we going to get it right away?
Yo, unless you have no concept of who this person is. Here we go. I never got the invitation.
Yeah.
The sharpness of her words deceiving. And I couldn't stop the bleeding.
I can't wait for the chorus. And Lord, I tried to be forgiven. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, there you go. Keep listening. But getting by don't mean you're living.
And on that highway going nowhere. This buildup is great.
Yeah. Was an exit overdue.
And all she had to give was heartache. Oh, heartache. That bitch. So she broke my heart in two. Here we go.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yes, she did.
This is a bit of a letdown. I thought it was going to go somewhere.
This is one of those songs that builds
throughout the entire thing
to the end.
So I've got to get to minute six before it gets really big.
The problem is we're listening to the iTunes sample, which is going to end pretty soon. You were there on
my horizon. That's true.
Yeah,
it does continue to build. Like they're adding more layers. Like I like the layers that they're adding to it. But I really needed him to go, "Sweet Caroline, ba ba ba." You know,
this is a Neil Diamond put out a new album this year called Melody Road. And this song is nothing but a heartache.
By the way, the album artwork on this is fantastically cheesy.
It's his face with like a
holy shit,
like a field behind him
in a road that goes to nowhere into a valley with a sunset.
It's beautiful. I love Neil Diamond.
Oh my god! That
Every
is
few
cheesy.
Years he puts out an album, and
is
I love.
He's still putting out albums on a regular basis.
His my favorite album is of his came out in like 2010, and
really?
He's been around since the 60s.
Down.
Yeah, I love Neil Diamond. That's Nothing But a Heartache, which is about heartache.
Yes.
Which I can relate to, because I'm a sad, brooding man.
And all she brought was heartache.
Yeah.
That bitch.
And she broke my heart in two.
Sweet Caroline. Next on my list is a song that my kid cannot get enough of.
Ah.
He plays this every fucking morning.
Really?
It's either this or fucking Taylor Swift, Shake It Off, which I can't stand. Yeah. This song, actually, I love.
All right.
I absolutely love this song. It's one of those where, like, okay, you can play that song on a loop. Yeah. Where, like, earlier it was Happy, and then I really got sick of the fucking song Happy, the Pharrell song.
Yeah.
Because I'm happy. Yeah. Got really sick of that song.
Yeah. That's a chicken singing it, by the way.
That sounds like last year's show where we were just...
Perfect. Yeah.
No, this song is what lights up my morning every morning. I'll just listen to it.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Girls hit you, hallelujah.
Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Because Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Because
Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Yeah.
Because Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch.
Come on.
I like this part.
Gotta get up, get on that floor. Everybody do the dinosaur.
I did the ha too early. Yeah. Whatever.
Don't believe me, just watch.
Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Hey, 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 oh.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
All right.
Well, I just want
to... I know.
Just let it vibe.
Mm-hmm. Jackson, Mississippi.
Woo!
Smoother than a fresh drop, skip it.
Smoother than a dress,
hot damn.
Call the police and the firemen. I'm too hot.
Hot damn.
Make a dragon bone.
I'm dancing to this song.
We're being
too.
Really fucking white right now.
Fucking dancing my ass off to this song right now.
Hot damn.
Girls hit you, hallelujah.
Woo.
Girls hit you, hallelujah.
Woo.
Girls hit you, hallelujah.
Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Corey.
I love this song so much. That is Mark Ronson's Uptown Funk featuring the fantastic Mr. Bruno Mars.
Corey.
Yes.
I also picked this song.
High five.
High five.
High five.
Knock over all of our equipment. We're sitting too far away for this.
Yes. Can I say something about this song real quick?
It's great. I'm glad that you have this song on your list because it's fantastic.
Can I tell you something about this song?
Best song of the year.
So here's what happened with this song with me. Again, this wasn't a great year for music overall.
Was not.
So I was really struggling to fill this list.
Right.
So I go on Vevo.com. Which is where music videos get posted now.
It's MTV, what used to be.
Yeah. So I go on Vevo.com and just start looking around.
It's what MTV used to be.
There you go.
That's how you say that sentence.
That's how you say that sentence.
Edit that up.
Okay. Uptown Funk is on there.
Uh-huh.
And I listen to it.
Video's amazing, too.
Video's great.
Yeah.
I watch the video, and I'm like, this song fucking rules. And then I bought it on iTunes, put it on my iPod. Listen to it. I was like, okay, this fucking song is going on my list because love it. I love it, right? This was a few days before this song went everywhere.
Right.
I happened to be surfing Vevo the day it was posted, and I did not realize that.
Really?
I thought that this song was like, oh, this is a song that came out this year that I completely missed, and that everyone else seemed to completely miss. This is going to be my secret weapon when I show up for the Shy Kids thing. And then 3 days later, I'm suddenly hearing the song everywhere. And I went, oh, fuck, this just came out.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
We've been listening to this song for it seems like a month now.
Yeah. This was about a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We must have done the same thing. My wife loves Bruno Mars.
It was like 3 days after I heard it and decided it was definitely going on my list. Suddenly I was hearing it everywhere.
Yeah.
There was YouTube videos with dads dancing to it. And I was like, oh shit, everyone discovered my secret song that I thought I discovered.
It sounds like we discovered it around the same time.
Yeah, we did.
My wife got an alert that like Bruno Mars put out a new music video. And she's like, woo, new Bruno Mars music. Yeah. Yes, please. And now it's been like constant loop in the mornings when we're getting ready. Because my kid, you know, just gets the iPad and just play.
He just loves it.
Play.
It's a great song.
Play. It's fantastic. Yeah. It reminds me of like Morris Day and the Time.
Yeah.
Like bringing back that funk vibe.
Oh yeah.
To music. It's so fun. Like it even
when I was a kid, I loved Morris Day and the Time.
It reminds me too of Ghostbusters theme.
Yeah.
You know, like
in a
it's,
way, yeah.
It's all of those really great 80s yeah. funk songs. That really get you moving.
Yeah,
I sounded like such an old white man.
Really
right there.
Get you.
Really get you moving.
These songs are really get you moving.
There's a great groove to them. You know, like I think this song would probably be also in, like if Dean was still here, like we would all three probably share a song for the year.
Knowing Dean, he would be like, "That's too mainstream."
Probably, yeah. But it's a fantastic song. You can't deny it. And I'm a big stickler for like completing a song. Like you got to give me a complete song.
Yeah,
it's got to have great music, great execution, it has to be produced well within the means, and it has to have good lyrics and a melody and a hook, right?
The like ending of this
for it to
song,
be a great song.
I love Uptown Funk You Up. Uptown Funk You Up. By the way, I say fuck when I sing it because it's funner.
I don't in front of my child, but in my car.
Uptown Fuck You Up. Uptown Fuck You Up. It's a I love the entire song.
It's fantastic. Yeah. You can't help but love the fucking song. I don't know.
Good. It's so good. So that was my next one.
Hey, we share one.
That was my next one. So let's just go back to you. We both poured our love into that song.
Back to me.
Back to you.
Okay, let's see here. All right, my next song is a cover of a song that was huge in 2014.
Okay.
But I like this version so much better than the original version. The original version, is fine. Like it's completely fine. It's a little dance number or whatever. Like, it got really popular because the woman singing it is sort of like became like the anthem for like, girls who weren't like super skinny.
Okay.
You know, the song is all about that bass.
Anaconda. Oh.
Yeah. Not Nicki Minaj.
Why are you spoiling the title instead of just
No. Because it's a cover of that song.
Oh.
So
I hate this song.
People will know that song, but then when you hear this version, it's completely different, and I love this version a lot better.
Before you play it, I want to make the audience know, I hate this song.
All About That Bass by Meghan Trainor. This is not Meghan Trainor. This
by
is
the way,
a different group.
Meghan Trainor really bugs me because she looks like one of my aunts.
Your Aunt Meghan?
No. And this is on my dad's side, so they're family that I don't care about that much.
They don't exist.
I hate the original, so if this cover makes it better, then okay.
Well, I'll let you be the judge.
This
goes down as the number one cover song of the year.
Okay.
But I think it's valid on this Songs of the Year to me because it's so great.
You must not have heard Kelly Clarkson do a gospel version of Shake It Off.
I'm just going to play this version and forget that you said
that. That did happen.
Did it really?
Yes, it did. Go for it.
All right.
He was perfect from the bottom to the top. Yes, my mama, she told me don't worry about your size.
Do wop, wop, wop.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a little more booty to hold at night.
I love the way she says booty.
Yeah. This sounds like something from Bioshock Infinite.
That's what you're into. Just go ahead and move along.
There you go.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble.
Okay.
I'm all about that bass,
no trouble. Here's what I'll say about it, Corey. Hold on.
All right.
This is your Macklemore song this year.
It is. I'll give you that.
But here's what I'm going to say about it. Her voice, way better than Meghan Trainor's voice.
Here's the thing, though. It's from a group called Postmodern Jukebox.
Okay.
Which is a YouTube channel.
Okay.
Where they take popular songs and redo them in an older style. They pick, like, doo-wop or, like, you know, swing or, you know, whatever their sort of feeling would be easily adaptable to, you know, the songwriting or whatever.
Yeah.
And they redo the song completely and then they just shoot it while they perform it live. So that's a okay. live recording of them playing. And that's Kate Davis, I think is her name. Kate Davis?
Did you, let me guess, you guys signed her recently?
No. I wish. She's fantastic. Her name is Kate Davis, but in the video, she's actually playing the bass.
Oh, really?
So she's singing all
so
about that bass.
She is all about the bass.
And she's singing, and she, yes, exactly. So
and
like,
she doesn't have any treble.
There's a bit of that that works for it, too. She's absolutely adorable. And she's
well, she's bringing booty back.
She is. She's in New York, and she plays stand-up, like that style music, whatever. And she also does other... she has other YouTube videos of her playing like Katy Perry's Roar and like a whole bunch of stuff where she's playing stand-up bass. But I think it's the best cover song of the year.
Okay.
You don't agree?
I mean, I hate the original so much that I'm still hearing that song. She's a better singer, though.
Yes.
And I like the sort of ragtime music.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's better than Meghan Trainor's All About That Bass. So I'll give you that one.
It makes that song super listenable for me.
Okay.
On a regular basis, because this is another song that my kid will play on fucking loop. He'll play this version.
Oh, good. Okay.
And it's good that he plays this version because I'm like, okay, I can listen to that lady's sweet voice and know that because I'm also a bass player. So like...
So you're all about that bass.
I'm all about that bass. And she's all about that bass.
This is terrible.
And when my wife decides to leave me, I have a very short list of people that that I will go for. And Kate Davis is one of them.
There you go. Let's take a break, and then we'll continue our list.
Okay.
Yes.
Bringing internet radio to the next level. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's more like radio.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the trunk say?
On your fuck. Oof. Ah.
What the trunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises.
Blah, 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 blah.
I can't understand what.
What does the trunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place. Okay. Oh. Let me, excuse me,
what the drunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the, racism there. Okay.
What does the drunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m., only on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, smokers, you stink. I'm not talking about your character. That's a given. I'm talking about your clothes. It's time to kick the butts and move over to something more pleasant. I'm talking about e-cigs from Smokeless Image. They're cheaper than cigarettes, don't smell, and are available in a wide variety of flavors ranging from mints, fruits, desserts, or the traditional tobacco flavors if that's what you want. Simply go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke for all your vaping needs. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
MoreLikeRadio.com. It's our duty to entertain you. I said duty.
Shy kids, shy kids, shy kids, shy kids, shy kids.
We are the shy kids.
See it right there. It's done. Theme song.
And we're back.
Welcome back. And now here's the rest of our list.
My next one you're not going to like, Corey.
Oh, I'm not, am I?
Yes. It is a female singer. Which okay. You do like female singers.
I love female singers.
And she put out what a lot of critics are saying is the best pop album of the year.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this.
However, she's released two singles from this album, and the song I picked is not one of those two singles.
Mm-hmm.
It's a what right now is a deep cut.
Uh-huh.
Maybe eventually it'll get released as a single. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard the entire album back to front.
I've had an ass full of this girl, I think. If it's who I think it is, I've had an ass full of this girl.
Play the song.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Listen to that fucking...
I should just tell
Oh, see, I wish there was more of the lead up before the chorus.
This part is super annoying.
Of style. Keep going, keep going.
This is our new theme song, right?
Keep it going. I want to get back to the...
This is your fucking Macklemore song, you asshole.
We never go out of style. We never go out of style. This part here. This whole... The lead up? What do you call the things that aren't the chorus?
The verses?
The verses of this song.
Well, hold on.
Are great.
I do dig this vibe.
Yeah.
If that's the chorus we just heard, it's a little underwhelming.
It's all about the verses. About the verses. No chorus. No, this shit reminds me of like 80s.
Yeah, it's almost like she took...
This is like 80s.
Like a...
By the way, this is a Taylor Swift with the song Style.
Yeah, that's not as terrible as some of the other songs that I've heard off the album.
Well, I know you don't like Shake It Off.
Shake It Off sounds like it's a Glee cover of a song that was released in 2006 that they did in 2009.
I enjoy Shake It Off. I like Blank Space more, which is the other single.
I have not heard Blank Space.
Oh, that's a good one.
Not good enough to make
and the
list.
Video's hilarious.
Is it? Oh, yes. Oh, she's got hilarious videos.
She knows how to make a video, that yeah. girl. But yeah, Style. The lead up that it reminds me of Eminence Front by The Who. The intro to Eminence Front.
Really?
Yeah. It's just that whole, like, it's got that cool 80s vibe. Her album's called 1989. Apparently,
right.
The whole album is kind of an homage to the 80s.
The decade that she was alive for?
89, I bet. I don't know.
She's probably born in 89.
You don't have to be alive in a decade. How about your fucking Kate Bosworth or whatever? And her fucking jukebox
Kate,
shit.
Kate Dave is doing a song from this year.
Yeah, but she
all my
did
songs
it in
are from this year.
Style of
it's an old timey style,
of the
yeah.
20s. So don't rag on.
I don't know that it was
Taylor
20s,
Swift for doing an 80s type style.
I'm just saying
she'll never go out of style.
Right.
By the way,
she is so ready to be out of style for me.
Actually, like fans of Taylor Swift,
yeah,
people who grew up with Taylor Swift, hate new Taylor Swift because she's not country anymore.
Right.
I did not grow up with Taylor Swift. I think 1989 is a great album.
Really?
Yes, I love it.
You know what?
There's two songs on it I don't like.
I'm not a fan of her voice, like the way she. I'm not a fan of the way she sings the songs, and that sounds a little weird. But I'm like not like she can carry a tune. She can hit all the notes,
yeah.
And her voice sounds pleasant.
Yeah.
But I don't like the way she sings the songs. You know, I don't like the way that.
Would you prefer Miley?
You know what? I actually do. Like
we can't stop.
Miley Cyrus.
We won't stop.
Miley Cyrus is more interesting when she sings a song.
Okay.
Than Taylor Swift to me.
I like
the vibe of this song. Like I'm with you. Those verses that.
Yeah.
Like that whole vibe. I'm with you. I'm down for it. And then she comes and sings on it, and her voice doesn't match that.
Oh, it does for
like,
me.
Like it doesn't
like
fit
it.
For me.
It just reminds me of
should.
80s girl singers like
see, but if you're going to emulate 80s stuff, don't emulate bad 80s stuff.
No, but bad 80s stuff is good 80s stuff. Don't you understand?
I hear that intro and those that verse vibe. And I'm expecting Tears for Fears type of songs.
I wanted to be with you alone.
Yes, like that is fucking awesome.
All right.
Taylor Swift, and you know, though, like, I would have been okay if the chorus really, really hit.
What's
but
your next
I don't
one,
really
Corey?
Feel like that chorus really hit.
This is your fifth one, right?
This is okay. my final song.
All right.
This has sort of been, like, my anthem song the entire year. Well, since it came out, really.
Okay.
This is another one where I discovered it before it became gigantic.
Yeah.
This was a song that they had started playing on Sirius Radio. It was on like the hidden deep indie radio station.
Yeah.
I was going through like I need to listen to indie music phase earlier on in this year. Yeah, like I need some mood music, some indie mood music, right? And the song came on, and I'd not heard much like it. You know, this is what I'm talking about. Like when somebody sings a song properly with the entire vibe, like everything comes together, and they sing the right emotions for the tone of the song. That's this song for me.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, they're starting here. Wow.
This is religious shit.
No, it's not religious. Amen. This is towards the end of the song.
Take me to church.
Oh.
Worship like a dog.
Okay.
In the shrine of your life, I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that death. I stand the good God. Let me give you my life. Take me to church.
Here's what's funny. If I, like, going through iTunes, we're listening to the iTunes samples right now, people. Going through iTunes, if I had started playing that, amen.
Right.
Amen. I would have been like, nope.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not the most ideal spot to start that song.
You shouldn't start the song there.
No.
Yeah.
But that's a fantastic song. That's,
what's it called?
I think the guy's name is Hosier. It's either Hosier.
Oh, it's Hosier.
Hosier or Hosier.
Yeah.
I believe the dude is Irish, and the song is called Take Me to Church.
Take Me to Church.
Yeah, his name is spelled Hozier.
Yeah, I've heard this song before.
Great hook.
Yeah.
Great hook. There's an emotional vibe to the music that is matched by the way he's singing it.
Yeah.
The song is Take Me to Church, but the song is not about going to church.
It's about fucking, right?
It's about, it's sort of about.
But fucking
no, like the church that he's
is his
responding
penis.
To is the lady that he's becoming obsessed
her
with.
Her vagina,
right? Like he's gonna tell her all of his sins so that she has weapons against him, but he doesn't care because she is his new religion. So take him to church.
Yeah,
you know, like he wants to go to her church.
He wants
all the
to
time.
Put his steeple in her church.
Yeah, he wants to fuck the shit out of her. but it's a really good song, and it caught on. Like wildfire about a month after I was like, this is my jam.
Yeah.
Much like your Bruno Mars, you know.
Yeah.
You're like, this is going to be...
It's 3 days.
Yeah, right?
But yeah.
Yeah, this song is now everywhere. And I'm sure people... This is probably a song that I will get sick of, unlike my first one, because it is played a ton.
That's like last year, I had Imagine Dragons Radioactive on my list. Fuck that song now.
Right?
Holy
Same with,
shit, did I get tired of that shit.
What's that, a Gautier song? Someone I Used to Know?
Oh, I hated that one
from like
the beginning.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
I loved that song when it first came out, and then they played the fuck out of it, and I was like, you know what? I could not hear this song for a while.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm sure that this song will become that song. It hasn't yet, but yeah, it's probably my favorite song of the entire year.
But you know what I can keep listening to?
Hmm.
Motherfucker Gentleman. All right. My last one is one of my favorite bands. Before putting out this song this year, they hadn't released anything together for like 17 or 18 years. Their last album.
Really?
Yeah. Their last album, I believe, was in 97. So I don't know the math there, but I believe that's like 17 or 18 years.
The link that you gave me, the song that comes up is just a bunch of stars.
Yeah.
I have no idea what this song is called.
The title is a curse word. go ahead and play the song.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I'll tell you what it is.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
You go to buy it, it's just star.
We eat in the wild, grazed on a mash that could suffocate a child. Bloated, promoted in an ode to pomp and style. Moistened in the feed while we choke upon the bile. Corner in the market,
ooh,
on the geese without the bones. Hushing out the public in a strike without a drone. The cage became collapsible, our sticks equipped with stones. Get the motherfucker on the phone. The phone.
Get the motherfucker on the phone.
This is another one that sounds like...
Get the motherfucker on the phone.
Like it just keeps building. Get
the this is the keyboard player right now. And then the actual singer comes in right here.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Inoculating bastards, bloody pecking pain. Distemper has a mold.
Does it go somewhere?
Yeah, it builds like the Neil Diamond song.
We're running out of time here. I'm not sure that we're going to get to.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead and fade it out. That is Motherfucker by Faith No More.
Yeah.
Yeah, their first song in 17 years is called Motherfucker. And I love it.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. If you listen to that song, that is such an earworm. You will be sitting in your car going,
get the motherfucker on the phone.
Hello, motherfucker. Oh, I love it. The singer is Mike Patton, who has done a bunch of like, single side projects. He did an album a couple years ago that was all Italian songs.
Really?
Yeah. yeah, it was okay. Awesome. He's also in the band Mr. Bungle and Fantomas and Tomahawk. But yeah, he finally reunited with Faith No More.
He's busy.
This is the first single on an album that they're going to put out in 2015.
Wow.
Brand new album.
A whole new album. You said 18 years since they've...
It's like 17 or 18 years since their last album.
Why now? I'm kidding.
I've been waiting for this so long.
I know.
Oh, my God. And I love the new song. And I love that there were fans who were like, we wait 18 years and it's a song about getting the motherfucker on the phone. It's like, dude, you clearly weren't a fan of Faith No More because every Faith No More song sounds like a completely different band than the last song.
Right.
That's the idea of Faith No More.
It sounds like the lead up for other greatness. You know what I'm saying? Like, this sounds like the song they're going to open up every concert with.
Yeah.
Cause it's a little march, like it's got a little march going on with the drums and like, it's just going to build. And even if the song, like, I don't know how the rest of the song goes, like, if it really explodes at the end or whatever, either that moment or the first chord of the next song.
Yeah.
When the whole show actually starts. Like,
I have a feeling that's how it's going to be because while it does hit a peak, it's a very simple song.
Right.
I mean, a lot of it is get the motherfucker on the phone.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, I'm looking forward to the rest of their album. Based on that already, I'm like, okay, this album's gonna have some fucking great songs on it.
It's definitely setting a specific vibe.
Yeah,
that I'm pretty down. Like I'm down with that. I want to hear where that goes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah. But yeah, so those are my songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we have some hate? Did you have some hate? Oh, Corey?
there's some hate songs. Yeah, there's some hate songs. I mean, like
the original All About That Bass.
Yeah, I mean that one got really really annoying. I was not a big fan of the theme song for The Fault in Our Stars, which didn't make sense. It was called Boom Clap by Charlie. Like it's a happy.
Oh, that's Charlie XCX.
Sure, yeah. Whatever.
That one's pretty shit.
That's a shitty song. Yeah. There's also a Demi Lovato song featuring Cher Lloyd.
Oh, not if it was regular Cher, maybe, but Cher Lloyd.
Cher Lloyd. I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
It's called Really Don't Care, which is funny because, like, the video starts out with, like, this gay pride march, and, like, it's supposed to be, like it makes you think that the song is about, like, gay rights or, like, individuality or something like that. Yeah. It's really just, like, you're an asshole, and I really don't care anymore. It's like a breakup song.
Shake
and it was
it
just
off.
Like, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And it's a shitty song.
Yeah.
But I do. You want me to play the song
that I hate? Yeah.
All right. This is one of those where the song has so much potential.
Yeah.
But it annoys me to no end because the melody and vocals seem like they were in the studio, and they were like, I don't have anything written for this. And they were like, just freeform it, and we'll just lay it down as a placeholder, and we'll find what we like about it, and then, you know, rewrite good lyrics over it and make an actual song. It sounds like he went in there, freeformed it, and never rewrote the lyrics. It was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Just keep those.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because it does have such a cool groove underneath it.
Play it. I want to hear what this
is. I need to get it up.
Okay. Like my dick.
And so, yeah, this is the song right here. And I want it to be so good, but it's not. There's no need to pretend. Just listen to the lyrics, like,
just because you got yourself in some shit, it doesn't mean I have to come deal with it. You handle your own when you become a man, and become a man when you handle your own.
He just sang the same lyric backwards. You handle your own when you become a man, and you're a man when you handle your own. Like, that's not. Like, this part's cool.
Waiting for a chorus.
Oh, that was the chorus.
That was the chorus.
Yeah. No, this. If I do till it's gone, I'm a
king, not the last man at the finish line. Ugh, I hate it.
Yeah, it's not good.
Terrible.
Later on, there's a bridge where he talks about going shopping for his cousins, and I don't even know.
I'm gonna go to the store and get my cars and some fucking.
I'm probably gonna get a lot of shit for not liking this song because so many people have now associated because the Sons of Anarchy used this in like a pivotal scene or something like that.
Overrated.
So a bunch of people are like, oh my god, I love that Yellow Wolf song.
Overrated.
It's so amazing. So amazing. Oh, I can't get enough of it. But it's like, no, that's a shitty song.
Yeah, on an overrated show.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you got?
Well, you know, I could throw in a Nicki Minaj Anaconda
You
here,
could. You could.
Because it...
Really, anything that Nicki Minaj did this year.
This year, and I like prior year Nicki Minaj shit.
Everything this year from Nicki Minaj has been really terrible.
Yeah, it's been really bad. Especially when the chorus of your song and like the lead up to that chorus is someone else's song. Like,
right.
I get sampling, but this was, like, most of her song is Baby Got Back.
Anaconda is a cover.
By the way, best video of the year. Anyway.
Hold on. She's still super hot.
Yeah.
There's no denying that. Still super hot.
Another really bad one was this fucking cheese dick fucking, like, just this, like, limp, like, trying to be, like, appealing to, like this guy's trying to be Train. Like one of those bands. Remember remember like Train?
Yeah, Drops of Jupiter.
Yeah.
I know it well. Your version is burned into my brain.
And this guy looks like a fucking like Iraqi Adrian Brody.
Oh, calm down, racist.
This is not a good combination of things. And it's the band Magic with the song Rude.
Yeah.
Why you gotta be so rude? And it's a shitty like...
I'm gonna marry her anyway.
Limp reggae. Like,
yeah,
it's really shit. But... the one I had to go with is the worst song of the year.
Okay.
You just got to play it, and then I'll tell you. You know, I'll tell you why I hate it without telling you what it is. I hate it because there's a certain types of songs that come out every once in a while where it's like, this sounds like a show tune, and songs, like real songs, shouldn't really sound like show tunes. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, this song sounds like it should be in Rent 2.
Okay.
Yeah. So play the song and then I'll explain what it is. Yeah.
Sort of sounds like a generic pop song at this point. Ooh, Ariana Grande.
You recognize her voice?
I love her voice. I think she's her generation's Mariah Carey.
Okay.
Sounded beautiful. I don't know what your problem is with it.
No. Listen to the chorus of this fucking shit.
I'm so down with this song right now.
No, you're not.
What?
This sounds like a TV show intro. Coming up next,
what
Bang
the fuck
Bang.
Is this? Hold on, this is something else. What fuck song is this?
That's probably something from Rent 1. Oh, here's Nicki. Here's Nicki. All right, fit it out.
No, hold on. Let's really soak this in, Nicki. It's Nicki Minaj. Queen Nicki dominant, prominent. It's me, Jesse and Ari. If they test me, they sorry. Riders up like a Harley, then pull off in this Ferrari. If he hanging, we banging. Phone ringing, he slanging. It ain't karaoke night, but get the mic, cause I'm singing. All right.
So, the main artist
that
here
is... That chorus is terrible. Hold on.
The main artist here is Jessie J.
Oh, what is that fucking song? There is... It's another shitty song that they stole the chorus from.
Yeah, totally. And then it's Ariana Grande and Nicki Minaj guesting. And the song's called Bang Bang.
Well, Ariana Grande's part was nice.
It was. Here's the problem, though, is that chorus, that sounds like... a show tune type, like with the big choir.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, into my room. Or like a weird TV show intro.
Yeah, yeah.
Like coming up on UPN.
Too many cooks.
Bang, bang.
Too many cooks.
It's like, it doesn't sound like a real song. Bang, bang, into my room.
God damn, that chorus is annoying and terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad.
That chorus is worse than Nicki Minaj's Anaconda.
It reminds me of my problem with Matchbox 20.
Everything?
But a different way. Okay, so this song sounds like it should be a show tune or maybe a TV show intro.
Right.
Whereas Matchbox 20 and Hootie and the Blowfish both sounds like songs from coffee commercials to me. When you wake up in the morning, raise your pretty hand, grab a... I said, maybe. Grab yourself a little cup of Folgers, baby.
It's good to the last drop.
Dave Matthews also is kind of coffee commercial.
I'm with you.
Yeah, so that's the... Ugh.
Yeah, that chorus is terrible, but Ariana Grande's voice is amazing.
Yeah. all right, let's go ahead and do movies now.
Okay.
Let's rock this shit. You started songs. I'll start movies.
Yeah, you start movies.
Okay.
This, by the way, hardest list to write.
This
of the
was
year.
Really hard.
Movies in 2004, for some reason, movies were outstanding in 2004.
Yeah.
There was some shit ones, but
yeah.
A lot of great movies in 2004. 14. Not 2004. What am I
2014.
Saying? 2014.
Yes.
Great, teen. Great year for movies.
This slot on my list. I'm putting this movie because it's a movie that I needed, because it's a sequel that fixed so many issues with the prior movies.
Hmm.
It's kind of like they made the entire movie just to fix shit.
Really?
Which I was really appreciative of.
You know, I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
I think I know where you're going with this. I think I disagree with you, but I know where you're going with this.
Okay. Well, and the movie itself, standalone, I think is great.
Mm-hmm.
But the ending of this movie really was like, oh, thank fucking Christ. This franchise needed a happy ending bad, because it's just every ending of movies in this franchise just got more depressing and depressing. And we finally got a happy ending where everything that was stupid, dumb decisions they made in prior movies pretty much got wiped out and fixed, to where the prior movies didn't even happen anymore.
Right.
And that is X-Men Days of Future Past. I needed this movie, and I was so happy that it happened and that it wiped out all those bad decisions.
I needed this movie to be better.
You didn't like this movie that much?
I was okay with this movie.
Yeah.
But just okay. Like, I liked it better than, like, X-Men 3?
Last Stand, yeah.
You know?
And it was way better than Wolverine Origins.
Any of the standalone Wolverine movies, yes, it's better than that.
Yeah.
It wasn't better than First Class for me.
You know, I kind of agree.
First Class was really good.
First Class is really good.
Yeah. This movie was better. Like, yeah. I agree with, like, it needed this movie to, like...
They needed to reset.
They did need to reboot it. There's some issues with their time travel stuff that doesn't make... Like, there's some major plot holes that happen.
Right.
That kind of bugged me while
with
I was
the time
watching
travelness.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
well,
the,
it's
the
back
timeline
to the future rules.
kind of, but it isn't like it had moments where I was like, well, if that happened, then why the fuck is, don't we have a, and then wouldn't this, if, why would they, and, you know, like I had a whole bunch of loose ends about the science of it, and I hated the way they did Professor X.
Oh, really? You didn't like heroin addict Professor X?
That was my real big problem with that movie was Professor X.
I loved heroin addict Professor X. Wasn't actually heroin, but...
No, yeah.
He was definitely addicted to something. I won't spoil it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I liked it, so...
I liked it.
Goes on my list.
I liked it. It fell short of my list because of those weird... things. But I am glad that they're trying to make great X-Men movies.
Yes, me too.
You know, because...
Like, fix it. Look what you did. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am happy that they're not going the Spider-Man route with that Marvel property. Yeah. They're really trying to keep pace with Marvel with the X-Men movies, and I appreciate that about them. First on my list is a movie that my wife and I... saw together, and it's a wonderful little film that has the most gorgeous old lady in it.
Gorgeous.
The most gorgeous old lady in it.
Yeah.
Who, when you think like older woman and you think, damn, I would still fuck the shit out of her, and maybe she would fuck the shit out of me to where I would get worn out and she would still be a goer. Who comes to mind? I'm sure the chat is blowing up right now.
It's that, oh, that chick who's really fucking... Everybody loves her.
Super hot, I think older lady.
I think she's a dame.
I'm not sure. Judi Dench?
Not Judi Dench. It's a different one. I forget her name.
Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren, yes.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I would give her a go.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I'd give her the old cock Wheatley.
Right? And in this, she has a French accent, which is even more like...
Is she a dame? Is she a dame,
Helen
Mirren?
I don't know if she's dame Helen Mirren.
Who cares?
She spent a lot of her early career topless, which is great.
Yeah. What's the movie?
She was in a movie about food, so like it was two great things.
Ah. and hot elderly bitches.
It was about cooking, and I love food. And this is one of those things where like you watch a movie and then you have to go experience something that you saw in the movie.
Yeah.
This movie is called The 100-Foot Journey, and it's a fantastic little film. It didn't get a lot of play in the theaters. Hopefully VOD will give it some more notoriety or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic film about an Indian family who moves to the south of France and decide to open up a restaurant across from a 4-star restaurant owned by Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
And the sort of journey that they take, the 100-foot journey from one restaurant to the other is like across the street.
Yeah.
And they sort of are at war the entire span of the movie.
So they have food fights.
Sort of, yeah. But there's so much like there's French cuisine being cooked and then there's Indian cuisine being cooked.
Yeah.
And they really romanticize that part of it.
Yeah. It's like Ratatouille.
It is. It is like live action Ratatouille, actually. That's a pretty accurate way of describing it. And it's a fantastic film. And my wife and I immediately had to go out and have like Indian food. I'd never had Indian food, but the way they portrayed Indian food in this movie, I was like, I need to have Indian food.
Was it a letdown?
No, Indian food is great.
It's great. Okay. I've never had Indian food. Nice.
So yeah, The 100-Foot Journey.
Next one on my list is probably the my favorite comedy of the year.
Okay.
And that is probably because we are not allowed to see The Interview.
I've heard The Interview blows.
I've heard it's really good.
I heard it blows.
No, like some reviews are saying it's blows and some are saying it's really good. I heard it's good.
I heard a lot of, maybe it was just like resentment towards it being like the whole situation with the Sony leaks.
There's a weird SJW thing right now where they're kind of against The Interview because they're like, oh, well, that's what you get for making fun of another culture.
No. No, that's not what I'm referring to. A lot of the people were like, all this over a shitty movie? Like, it's not that great. Who cares? It would have gone in the theaters and died because it's not very good.
Nah, man. I have too much faith in Seth Rogen.
So do I.
He directed it. He wrote it with Evan Goldberg.
I think this is
the end. Superbad. Pineapple Express. I think it's good. I don't trust the...
I was hoping it was
fucking
going to be great.
Cunts anyway, stupid reviewers.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. They want like, oh, what's the deep message here? That's all they give
a shit. The deep message
about.
Is fucking Korea sucks.
So because I didn't
North
see,
Korea sucks.
Because I haven't seen The Interview, although by the time this airs, maybe they'll release it. They're still like sort of.
I think we're only going to get it on VOD because they can't bomb Netflix.
Yeah. So maybe by the time this airs, I'll have watched it, and maybe I'll say in the chat if I liked it better.
Right.
But the one I did put on my list is 22 Jump Street.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
22. I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't think it was better than 21 Jump Street, but no, I thought it was very close.
But the smartest thing they did.
Right. It was so meta. It was so awesome.
They made fun of sequels the entire time.
The entire time.
The entire movie.
There were so many great tropes.
We're making fun of sequels and how the budget needs to be bigger. But wait. Now you've lost your budget.
Not only that, but it had great joke arcs through the entire thing.
Yeah.
Like there's love interests, there's love triangles, there's a whole bunch of shit that happens that they carry through the entire way that I thought they did better than the first movie.
Yeah.
But overall, I liked 21 Jump Street a lot better.
I think they're just a great duo. A great, just two movie.
You know
21,
what?
21, 22.
Channing Tatum, I like him so much now because of the 21, 22 Jump Street movies.
I didn't give a fuck about him before.
Yeah, he was the guy in Step Up and Magic Mike.
Yeah,
to
I
me.
Thought he was like, just some lunkhead. Yeah.
And because of 21 Jump Street, I was like, oh, okay, this guy's cool. And then he was in This Is the End, and he has a great cameo in This Is the End. And then 22 Jump Street like really solidified, like, all right, I would want to hang out with this guy. This guy seems cool.
This guy's
like,
solid. But yeah, 22 Jump Street was hilarious.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
Written and directed by the guys that did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and a movie that almost made my list, the Lego Movie.
Ah, okay. I haven't seen the Lego Movie yet.
The Lego Movie is fantastic. It was so close to making my list.
Yeah.
I wrote like 12 movies.
You had to narrow down to 5?
That I had to narrow down to 5.
Well, what's
and
your next one?
Some of those were like, Doc will probably have this on the list, so it'll be covered.
Okay.
You know?
Next one?
Next one on my list, after The Hunt of Virginia. I'll go through both of my movie, or my food movies.
Okay.
The next one is the return to writing, directing, starring for this director, writer, actor.
Yeah.
He did a few movies where he went like off and just did big budget, I'm just going to be director.
I know what this
he
is.
He did a few where he, you know, he sort of went and did the like I'm a gun for hire kind of a guy and did fantastic things with those franchises and whatnot.
Yeah.
But at heart he's an indie filmmaker.
Yeah.
And this was his return to indie filmmaking with a fantastic movie about a chef, and the movie is called Chef.
Well, hello there, children.
Yes, it's a documentary about...
This is Jon Favreau, right?
It's Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
And he plays a fucking asshole chef.
Nice.
Who can't get his head out of his own ass until...
So Guy Fieri?
Sort of, yeah. until...
But maybe not so rock and roll.
It's not as rock and roll, yeah. This is another movie that really romanticizes food.
Yeah.
And his passion for food really makes... Like, that's his redeeming quality. Like, he's kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
And you're not really like... You're like, I don't know if I want to root for this guy or whatever. And then you see how passionate he is about his food. Mm-hmm. And it makes it all worthy. Like, oh, okay, I get it. And then he starts to go through his own character arc through the entirety of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's really rewarding at the end. And it's a really fantastic film. And I would recommend it to anybody who is like, I don't know about indie film.
Yeah.
Like, no. Just go watch a good indie film.
Go watch
like,
Chef.
Chef. Yeah.
Chef. All right. Good choice.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it yet, but I will.
You should go see it.
Yeah. My next one is one of those directors that has never done me wrong. I have three directors that have never made a bad movie to me.
Uh-huh.
That is Quentin Tarantino.
Mm-hmm.
The newest person on the list, which is Edgar Wright.
Okay.
And then...
Ryan Johnson?
No.
Oh.
This movie, this director who did a little movie called The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Ah,
Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson.
This is a fantastic movie.
I have not seen Grand Budapest Hotel.
To me, it's one of his best. I like it better than Moonrise Kingdom.
Really?
Which I loved.
Moonrise Kingdom was fantastic.
Yeah, I like it better than Darjeeling.
Mm-hmm.
I even like it better than Fantastic Mr. Fox. I think Life Aquatic's still my favorite. But yeah, Grand Budapest Hotel is really good.
It's one that I really, really, really want to see. Yeah. It's a hard sell for my wife. It's one of those where, yeah, like she has to go away for a while, and I have to be able to watch like
somewhere.
two and a half hours yeah, of like Wes Anderson-ness.
Honey, they're doing Bubble Guppies live. Take the son take and the I'll kid. Watch Grand Budapest.
Oh,
Hotel.
You want to take him to Disneyland? Yeah, 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 go do that. Go do that. I'm going to kill some time. Yeah, because I've seen, it's one of those things where I've seen all the like special features for the movie.
Yeah.
You know, like I look at everything. Like I found a blog like a month ago that was all of the model work.
Yeah.
Like the people that did all the models for the hotel and for the the stop motion stuff for the train that goes up to the hotel and like all that stuff. They documented the entire process of molding to finishing all the models.
Yeah.
And so like I tore through that blog and like learned about all of the little models that they built and all the, you know, the stuff that they made for it and all the miniatures and all that kind of stuff. And then I watched a whole bunch of behind the scenes footage, and then I watched some green screen stuff, and then I was like, ah, I want to see this movie so
bad.
There's
also a thing where like parts of this movie take place at different times,
mm-hmm,
and you can tell which time you're in because the aspect ratio changes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's really cool.
But I love those little intricacies that he throws in there because it really helps sell the entirety of the world.
Yeah, definitely.
Even when he's doing it super fantastically
You're
stylized.
You're explaining this movie better than me, and you didn't even see it.
I was going to say, I saw all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
All right.
So, I'm in love with this movie. I've never seen a frame.
All right. You got to watch it. Next for you.
Let's see. Next for me was the movie that I was most surprised about.
Okay.
Loving.
Okay.
Loving. I saw this movie 3 times in 3 weeks.
All right.
I saw it alone, and then I kept finding people to be like, you need to see this movie.
Yeah. Come
sit
with
down.
Me.
You, sit down.
Come
Watch
with me.
Watch this movie. You, sit down. It's a movie that's very much like The Raid Redemption, only instead of...
Is it The Raid 2? Because that came out this year.
No. No, because The Raid 2 was at, like an actual movie.
Yeah.
Whereas Raid Redemption was just floor by floor on a building to try to get to the top and annihilate everything. Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
But the most entertaining video game. Like it was super action packed and great. This was that, but on a train. Set in futuristic America.
I wanted to see this, I haven't yet.
This movie is so great.
Yeah.
Because you're going through this whole thing and it doesn't seem like it's super stylized. It's way more stylized. The movie is Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
And it's way more stylized.
By the way, sounds like a Bond title.
It does. It does. It does. Snowpiercer.
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 Yeah.
It's so stylized as they go through. Like they really did a great job creating the different worlds as they claw their way through this train.
Yeah.
And then it seems like that's really all you're going to get from the movie. And then the very end, there's some info dump scenes that make you go, holy fuck.
Yeah.
And stuff starts making sense, whatever.
This movie, if I have the correct director.
He's a Korean director.
He made a movie called, a monster movie called The Host, which I'm a huge fan of.
Then you'll probably love this movie.
Yeah, so I got to see this movie. It's got Captain America.
Captain America, and it's got the War Doctor.
Oh, yeah, John Hurt.
Hurt, yeah, yep. John Hurt. And it's got Billy, no, what's his name? The kid that played Billy Elliot?
I don't know his name, but he played Billy Elliot. I don't know his name, but he played Billy Elliot.
I don't know, but Snowpiercer is fantastic.
It's like a cool action movie?
It is the best action film of the year.
Okay, I gotta see Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
All right.
As a purely just action film.
Okay, I will see Snowpiercer. Mm-hmm. Next one on my list is a movie that made me cry.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
I cried at a bunch of movies this year.
And it was funny because the trailer made it seem like, comedy.
Really?
And the movie's definitely got funny parts.
Uh-huh.
But there is a drama under this movie.
It really hit you?
That really hit me. And it's a... And it's one of my favorite actors,
mm-hmm,
Bill Murray.
Oh, I know it. I know it. Yeah, I know it. I want to see this movie so bad.
And it's a movie called Saint Vincent, mm-hmm, by a first-time director.
Right.
I forget his name. It's him. Melissa McCarthy's in it.
The story behind getting Bill Murray is almost as fantastic as I've heard this movie is.
Yeah. And then Naomi Watts is in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then a kid. And the idea is that Bill Murray's this like grumpy
neighbor
fucking asshole.
Guy, right. The kid befriends him.
Yeah. What's the woman's name again? I already forgot
McCarthy.
It.
McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy moves in with her son.
Uh-huh.
Next door to him, and she's like getting a divorce.
Right,
she's like a working mother. She works long hours at a hospital,
mm-hmm.
So she can't always be home to like take care of her kid.
Right,
and Bill Murray's character is a gambling addict and a drunk, and he needs money to pay off his debts.
Right,
so he offers to start watching this kid for like $12 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So like he's hanging out with this kid all day, but he's just this fucking asshole.
Doesn't he take him to like strip clubs? And,
yeah, he takes him to like horse track,
right?
To bet and shit. It's just the comedy that's mined from that is great, but then there's this just like you realize how depressed Bill Murray's character is, and how he's just kind of given up on life. And the way they bring it all together, it was just like, I fucking cried at the end of this movie. I loved it. Naomi Watts plays a Russian stripper who, also fucks Bill Murray cause he pays her. So she's also a hooker.
Right.
Yeah. And she's great. Like I didn't even realize it was her at first.
Right.
I thought they just got some real Russian actress. Yeah. But it's a really good movie. Saint Vincent. I recommend.
I've heard nothing but great things about this film.
It's really good. It's one of Bill Murray's best performances.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it.
This is one of those films where it was hard to see in theaters because it never really got...
It was a limited
release. There was a ton that I really wanted to get to, like Foxcatcher I never got to.
Yeah.
Whiplash I only barely got to. What's the one with Jake Gyllenhaal? Nightcrawler.
I heard that's really
good. I've heard they're all great movies.
Yeah.
They didn't make my list because I could not get to see them because I'd have to drive 2.5 hours to get to a theater to
Same
go
here.
See them, you know?
Yeah.
But St. Vincent was another one. And I'm sure that it'll be, as soon as I can VOD it, I'll be able to watch it. Same with all those other ones, Foxcatcher and whatnot.
It's just, it's a beautiful little movie.
That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard. It's going to be
next
great.
Next on yours.
Next on my list is another movie that is sort of similar to that. It wasn't very funny, but like, it has that emotional drawstring through the entire thing, you know. And it's a movie that I was really excited to see because I love these types of movies. And they don't really make the types of movies that this one is anymore.
Ah.
And it's a movie that you would see in the 90s a ton.
Yeah.
And it's this movie is also a different type of role from an actor who has come back up. Into public light.
So Nick Cage.
No.
It's Left Behind.
No.
No.
And he's getting away from what has brought him out into the spotlight.
Yeah.
And going back and doing real movie roles.
Okay.
Real drama.
I know what this is.
Real character driven
stuff.
And
I wanted to see this so bad.
This movie is so fantastic, but it's another one where like you're gonna cry 3 or 4 times during this film.
Tell me.
It's called The Judge.
Yes, I want to see this so
bad. And it's Robert Duvall and Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And Robert Downey Jr. is fucking fantastic in this movie.
He's the best. He's one of my favorite actors.
You forget.
Up there with Bill Murray.
You forget a little bit when he's doing Iron Man. Like, he's doing Tony Stark, and you think, like, oh, that's just Robert Downey Jr. being sort of a version of Robert Downey Jr., right? You forget how fucking great an actor he is.
Dude. Chaplin.
Right?
Great.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he went through this great phase where he did a bunch of great movies, and then he got hooked on drugs, and he disappeared forever. And then he came back, and he was Tony Stark, and he was just arrogant, like, playboy Tony Stark. And you're just
Hollywood's
like,
bad boy.
That's the Robert Downey Jr. we remember from the tabloids. That's the guy that broke into somebody's house and fell asleep on their kid's bed. You know, like, you forget how great an actor he is until he does a performance like this. And The Judge was absolutely fantastic.
I'm so annoyed that I didn't get to watch this movie yet.
Like I said, as soon as it's another one that was like, it came and went in theaters. It wasn't in every theater.
I got to see this one.
It was in a little wider release than some of the other ones that we had just spoke about. But like, If you get a chance, when you get a chance to see this movie, absolutely put it on your list.
Yeah. You know, my favorite part, though, is when they go, here come the judge, here come the judge. All right. Last one on my list. I mean, was there ever any doubt that this would be on my list?
I did not put this on my list because I knew you were going to put it on your list, but this,
oh, really?
Is, this is one that is above my list. This is like the Doctor Who thing.
Yeah, it's above your list.
It's like, of course this is on the list, yeah. But there were other things, and I knew that this was going
to
be brought up.
You wanted to make sure other things were shouted out.
Yeah.
The best superhero movie of the year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there was another great superhero movie
that
happened this year.
Captain America Winter Soldier.
Captain America Winter Soldier was amazing. Great and movie. I had to bump it because
I didn't even
Snowpiercer.
I bumped it to put in X-Men because of how important it is to me.
But it's still a fantastic movie. It's not, it's not, don't underplay it. Like,
but the best superhero movie of the year and one of the best, just now one of the best superhero movies ever.
Yes.
And it's, I wouldn't even call it really a superhero movie in a way. It's comic book based.
It's a comic book movie.
And it takes place in the same universe as many superheroes.
Right.
But it is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Holy fuck, that movie.
That I've seen this movie, I think, like six times.
Really?
Now. Yes. Because I keep showing different friends.
This is your Snowpiercer.
This is my Snowpiercer, yeah. Like, you haven't seen it yet? All right, we're watching
sit down.
It. Yeah, we're watching it right fucking
right now.
Yeah.
I knew that it was going, like, I had no clue what the fuck to expect from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. But do you remember, we talked about this movie on our first episode of Shy Kids.
Did we?
Yeah, the Lost episode.
Oh, because we talked about Howard the Duck.
We talked about, I think we brought up Howard the Duck, but I also brought up Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, yes.
Because I was like, they're making a movie of the Guardians of the Galaxy. And you're like, what the fuck is that?
I think somebody in the chat or on Twitter a few weeks ago was like, shows you, Corey.
Yeah.
You're like, a movie about a raccoon. Oh, no. They called me out on my Howard the Duck thing. Like, they'll never return to that franchise.
Yeah.
Yep. Because of Guardians of the Galaxy. Boom. There you go. I stand corrected.
It is. It has heart. It's funny. The action is great. The fucking way things are resolved in the movie is great. I love movies where the theme is like friendship, which is why I like the Jump Street movies.
Right.
Yeah.
The buddy movies.
Yeah, buddy movies. this is like, I love Misfits.
Yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy is a new property for Marvel movies, and it totally beat Winter Soldier at the box office.
Right.
And Captain America is an established, I mean, this is third.
And it was a great movie.
Yeah, and it was fucking great.
Yes.
But yeah, fucking like, people were ready for something new, and Guardians was that thing.
It was a big gamble that Marvel took.
Yeah.
And I think it only solidifies their consumer trust.
Yeah.
Because now they can put out whatever the fuck they want.
Exactly.
They can put out, properties that we've never even marginally heard of.
Yeah.
And we'll go see those movies because we trust their ability to create.
Yeah, it's a Marvel movie. Okay, I'll see it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Until they burn us.
Sony and Fox didn't do it. Okay, good. Your last one.
My last one. Let's see. You covered Guardians of the Galaxy. We covered Lego Movie, The Winter Soldier.
Those are all honorable mentions.
Yeah. No. So we already covered those.
Yeah.
So like my list is fucking long.
Yeah.
This movie was, the shining star, pardon the pun.
Yeah, my shining star.
Of my movie going year, besides Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
It is so great when a director continues to put out just amazing work.
Okay.
And this is one where, like, you have your three directors that have never burned you.
Yeah.
This is one director that's never really burned me.
Okay.
And it's Christopher Nolan.
Ah, yeah.
And his movie,
good.
Interstellar.
Okay.
Holy fuck, was that an amazing movie?
I didn't see it.
Really? You didn't see Interstellar?
Seen it yet.
God
seen it yet.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's. I had one issue with the movie that had to do, again, with the time travel-y stuff.
There's time travel in it?
Well,
didn't even know that.
It's not time travel. It's like, it's hard to talk about the movie without spoiling it.
Okay.
Yeah, like, they go through a black hole.
Oh, okay.
To get to other planets.
Is this like Stargate?
A little bit. A little bit, actually.
Okay.
James
Spader in it?
And there's some magical science stuff that happens.
Oh, okay.
That that I didn't, they didn't quite make sense, but the way they styled it is fantastic. And their storytelling is great. The epicness of it is beyond anything that I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah.
The acting in it is fantastic.
It's Maddie Mack, right?
It is Maddie Mack. Yeah. And I think this is like the pinnacle of the reconnaissance right now is Interstellar. No, I'm serious.
The
like
reconnaissance.
This is the peak.
Yeah.
You know, it's only down
so
here.
It's downhill from
it's
here.
Down here.
He's going to make, what is that? Failure to Launch 2.
Yeah, yeah.
He's out.
He's going to dip right back into romantic comedies.
Oh, no.
And then fade off into old actor obscurity.
Don't do it, McConaughey.
He shouldn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is definitely, for me, the apex of Matthew McConaughey's resurgence as a serious, serious actor.
All right, all right, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way they play with the science,
yeah,
is really interesting. Like, it makes you think. Like, you start doing calculations in your head. Like, well, does that work that way? Like, it makes you think, but it doesn't make you feel stupid. It takes you on an epic journey. It makes you feel a whole bunch of emotions.
Yeah.
There's great comic relief. There's great tension. There's great drama. There's great cameos in it that I won't spoil. It is a fantastic movie from front to end. It's one of those where you walk out of the theater like feeling rewarded for having watched that movie.
Yeah.
When you walk out going, that was an experience.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed every moment of that, you know, and Interstellar for me was that movie this year.
All right. Nice.
So, yeah.
I need to see it.
Do you
have any hate movies?
I have a lot of hate movies.
I am so good at avoiding.
Should I just rifle through my list of eight?
Yeah, I have so many. I'm so good at avoiding movies if I have an inkling that they'll be bad that I don't have any hate movies I actually saw. I have hate movies that I have not seen. Go ahead and rifle through your list. I bet there's some laps.
Some of these are ones that I hoped had promise.
Yeah.
But that fell really flat.
Just rattle it off. Hate.
RoboCop.
Okay, hate.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
The next one I love to hate it.
Yeah.
And that's Pompeii.
Yes. Awful.
But it was like PG Spartacus
so
the series.
So if you close your eyes, oh, oh, oh. Okay, next.
Divergent. My wife's going to hate me for saying that because she absolutely loves the Divergent.
The fuck is Divergent?
Divergent is like a Hunger Games ripoff. Dystopian world where everybody gets put in like their own category.
Fuck it.
And they have to take jobs that mean this, but they're people that are good at everything.
Boom.
And those people rise up and blah, 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 blah.
Boom.
They're making a sequel called Insurgent, and it stars Shailene Woodley.
Oh, I like her.
Vagina suntan lady.
Yeah.
Who had cancer in that one movie and also was George Clooney's daughter in that other movie.
Yeah.
Who's super hot.
Yeah.
Not a good action hero.
Okay.
She's pretty terrible in these movies.
Next.
Noah.
The Russell Crowe Noah?
I say no to Noah.
Okay.
This one I think you liked. I was so disappointed in Godzilla.
Oh, I did like Godzilla.
I was so disappointed in Godzilla. Yeah.
Then fuck Godzilla. Next.
Yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. I noted that on mine.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
And I haven't seen it.
Holy fuck.
Really bad?
Holy fuck.
All right.
Not as bad, though, as my final one, which is Transformers 4, Age of Extinction.
There you go.
Holy shit.
All right.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
Now.
How did that fucker get made? How?
Nobody liked 2 and 3. I don't know why they would make 4.
3, like, 2 sucked. 3 was like,
yeah.
You know, like, as meh. 4 is terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Marky Mark.
At one point, they're like, how are we going to beat these bigger, better Decepticons? Like, I know. There's some old dinosaur robots that have been here since the dinosaur times.
Yeah.
Just hanging out in a cave. Let's
Boom.
Go wake them up.
Dinobots.
Stupid fucking movie.
All right. The one that I don't think either of us saw, but has to be terrible, Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yes, probably absolutely terrible.
Yeah. One I want to give a shout out to because I was surprised how much I liked it because I thought it was going to be terrible. Didn't make my list, but it was still quite good. Million Days to Die in the West.
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh, I completely forgot about that movie.
Yeah.
That I really like. That's probably one of my favorite comedies of the year.
It was fun. It was like a fun, it reminded me of like that just goofy Blazing Saddles-esque.
I was just about to say, it felt like a Mel Brooks film.
Yeah, I thought it was
kudos to Seth MacFarlane.
I thought it was quite good. I mean, I think Seth MacFarlane is a better filmmaker than he is a cartoon maker these days, because he's got Ted. Was great.
Million Days of Dying in the West.
I thought was great. Now we got Ted 2 coming out. Who knows how that will be?
But, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. but yeah, and we're out of time.
Oh, we are way out of time, my friend. It's a good thing we weren't doing this one live.
Yeah. TheShyKids.com.
And as always, remember,
this never happened.
Good night.
Good night.
Day. Good afternoon. Good morning. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Ducky Weeds, no fact. No fact today.
The long show.
Yeah.